We have gathered here to lift high the name of Jesus. He alone is worthy of adoration and worship. This Easter day, our hearts are full as we celebrate and remember his life, death, and resurrection. Just like the Israelites, who long ago lined the streets of Jerusalem with palm branches to welcome their Messiah King, we too make way for our King today. We lay down our lives before him, crowning him with glory and praise as we proclaim, Hosanna in the highest! God, save us now!
Thank you.
God's word tells us in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christ came to earth from heaven, lived a sinless life, was despised and rejected, suffered a brutal crucifixion, died, and rose again, all for us. His death meant the perfect sacrificial atonement for our sin, and his victory over death provides us with power for living and the hope of eternal life. Because of who he is and what he has done, from now until the end of time and beyond, let there be no other name that we will sing but his. Thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you for putting an end to the rule of sin by sacrificing your one and only Son. Thank you for the power of his precious blood poured out for even me. Thank you for giving him a name that is above all names, the name that shakes the foundations of hell and causes evil and darkness to hide, the name that heals and restores, the name that rules and reigns, the name that is full of resurrection power and glory, the name that will be the anthem of saints and angels for all of eternity, the name of Jesus.
Your great name.
Join us now and lift your voices in worship. Fill this place with praise and exaltation. There is just one deserving of all honor, glory, dominion, and power. There is but one King of all kings, one Lord of all lords, one who is coming again to take us all home. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, Jesus, only Jesus.
Bible. Yeah. And all of God's people said, praise the Lord. I want to thank Richard and this choir. They have worked for quite some time now, and it just turned out beautiful. And it uplifted the name that deserved to be uplifted on this day, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. And I would like to close this service out by kind of tying it all together, and really tying it all together with a theme that we've been looking at for a number of weeks right now. And that theme is called the story of the church. We look for a while at the story of creation. And then it jumped from the story of creation in those same set of verses in Colossians chapter 1 and went directly to the story of the church. And what we have learned so far in Colossians chapter 1 about the story of the church is that the story of the church is a story about designation. The church was designated the church. And we talked about what that means. And then we said the story of the church is a story of description. In this set of verses, the church is described as the body of Christ. And we talked about that description of the body. And then the story of the church is a story of dominion. And what we're talking about there is that this set of verses tells us that the head of the church, the one who has dominion over all, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the story of the church is a story of description, of designation, and of dominion. But today, God is amazing how He works out what we are celebrating today with the message of the story of the church. What we discover today is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the one event that makes the church possible. And it fit right in with where we have been studying in Colossians chapter 1. So let me read Colossians chapter 1 again and verse 15. Listen to the Word of God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Now listen to verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. Now listen to this next couple of lines. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Only one point today, and it's this. The church, the story of the church is not only a story of designation. It is not only a story of description. It is not only a story of dominion. But the story of the church is also a story of defeat. It is a story of defeat. You must have in your mind some questions. What battle are we talking about? Who were the participants in this battle? And who won the battle? Well, the answer is found in that sentence in verse 18 that says, He is the firstborn from among the dead. Now we ask the question, who is the firstborn from among the dead? And the answer is clearly, as we've already studied in this text, we know that it's referring to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from among the dead. Now listen, he fought a battle against a valiant enemy. The enemies were death. The enemies were hell. The enemies were the grave. The enemies were the devil. The enemy was, understand, brothers and sisters, every evil spirit that has ever been. On that day, Jesus fought a battle against all of these forces all at once. But I've got good news. He won the battle, and the enemy was defeated, and he was the firstborn to resurrect from the dead in the way that he did, conquering sin, conquering hell, conquering death, conquering evil, conquering Satan, and giving glory to his great name and salvation to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that he defeated the enemy and we win. Woo! Hallelujah! Understand today, brothers and sisters, when it says that he was the firstborn from among the dead, it means a lot of things right there. It means, number one, that no one had ever resurrected from the dead. Listen to me. No one had ever resurrected from the dead in the way that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Let me ask you this question. Had there ever been a resurrection before Jesus Christ's resurrection? Go like this. Yes. Tell me, who was resurrected before Jesus Christ? Lazarus. Lazarus was resurrected before Jesus Christ. Who else was resurrected before Jesus Christ? You may not remember this, but the Bible says that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, that some of the dead believers resurrected from the dead, even at his crucifixion. And then Jesus raised a little girl to life who had died. So there had been resurrections before Jesus Christ's resurrection. So what does it mean that his... Well, thank you, brother. I had a big one right there. But thank you. His, listen to me, his was the first in the way that he was resurrected. And you say, what is that? You see, unlike Lazarus, and unlike the girl that he raised, and unlike the saints that came out of the grave, he resurrected in a way that they did not resurrect, and it was this. He resurrected in a glorified body. They resurrected back to their mortal bodies. They had to live and die again. But when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he resurrected like no one ever has. He resurrected in a body that will never have to die again. Hallelujah! And understand today, that because he resurrected with that kind of body, the Bible says that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what kind of body you're going to have when you resurrect? You too are going to be resurrected in a glorified body, just like the one Jesus had, that cannot have any diseases. How many of you had a struggle getting ready this morning and getting here to church? Be honest with me. Any of you? Some of you, yeah. Some of you won't admit it. How many of you have a problem every morning getting up and get going because your body doesn't want to go with you? Yeah, exactly right. But understand something. When Jesus on that great glad getting up morning, when he resurrects the body of the believers out of this grave in what we call the rapture, when he does that, those body will be like the one he had, and they will not get tired ever again. They will not grow old. They will not get sick. They will never die again. He rose first, and because he did, he'll be able to raise us with glorified bodies. No one had ever resurrected like he had. Another thing about his resurrection that no one else had ever had like his was this. How did Lazarus resurrect from the dead? Tell me. Come on. How did he resurrect from the dead? Jesus resurrected him, right? Go like this, yes. Okay? How did that little girl that was dead and Jesus came and touched her. He said, Talakuma, trying to say it right in the Greek, which means he said to this little girl, get up from the dead. Who raised that little girl from the dead? Jesus did. And all of those that came out of the grave at his crucifixion, it was because of Jesus. But who resurrected Jesus? Jesus did. No one else could resurrect Jesus Christ but himself. He said earlier, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to what? To resurrect it again. Now why? You say, well, wait a minute. The Bible says God resurrected him. Well, that's right. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brought him back alive. That's right. Well, now, preacher, which is it? Which is it? You're giving us something that it ain't quite right. Was it Jesus? Was it the Father? Was it the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are one, and they all are consumed into one another, and in Jesus Christ was the Father, and in Jesus Christ was the Son, and in Jesus Christ was the Holy Spirit. That's why it could be God the Father, that's why it could be God the Son, and that's why it could be God the Holy Spirit. No one is like Jesus, for he went into the grave, and by his own power, because he is God, he was able to give himself back life again. Hallelujah! Give the Lord praise in the house today. Firstborn from among the dead. No one had ever resurrected in a new glorified body. And no one had ever resurrected by their own power. Only Jesus has the power to do that. Ask your question. Who are you trusting? How many people have gone to this grave out here, graveyard, and been buried here, or any graveyard in this town, or any graveyard anywhere in this world, and they went there thinking that because they did a lot of good things, they'll be resurrected from the dead? Let me tell you, you can do every good thing that there is to do in this world, and it's still not enough power to bring you back from the dead. There's only one power that can bring you back alive. And that's the power of Jesus Christ. And then let me tell you this. Look at this. You see, his defeat was not only a defeat of a resurrection that had never been like this, but his defeat was also, understand something, a resurrection that brought about new life. Look at what the Bible says there in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now listen, he is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. What does it mean when it says he's the beginning? You see, by his resurrection, that what it means is that he is the one who made it possible for the church to begin with a new life. He's the one that gave birth and life to the church by the power of his resurrection. He began a new thing and started things all over with the church. Because of the power of his resurrection, the church came into existence. It all began with the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Ask you a question. What church are you a member of? Are you a member of Great Swamp Baptist Church? Are you a member of Ridgeland Baptist Church? If you are, you need to get over here to Great Swamp. If you are you a member of any other church in this area? Your name's written on the roll. You went down, you said yes to the preacher's questions, and you became a member of that church. But let me ask you a real question. Are you a member of the church? And it's not Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian, or the list could go on and on. It is the church. And the only way you can get in the church is by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection. And he will give you a new beginning, a new life, and it will start in his church, in his family, and it'll start with a changed heart. And then I close with this. The story of the church is a story of defeat. A defeat that conquered the enemy and caused Jesus to be the first resurrected in a new and special way. His defeat also made it possible for the beginning of a new life, the life of the church, a life free from sin, and a new life in Jesus Christ. But also, his defeat made it possible for him to get all the glory, all the praise, all the supremacy, and all the preeminence. Notice what the Bible says right here in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Now listen to this last statement. So that in everything he might have the supremacy. Would we be here, I asked them this morning, would we be here today celebrating and worshiping if Jesus had only died on the cross? Would we? Well, let me give you my answer. I wouldn't. I'd have said to Tammy this morning, let's get a picnic basket, as Yogi Bear used to say, and let's head to the beach, because there's nothing to worship. If Jesus Christ only died on the cross, what he did at the cross was not sufficient enough to save us. But understand something, he didn't just die from the cross. He was laid in the grave, and 3 days later, he came up out of the grave. And because he did, it brought about our salvation. And because Jesus was willing to do what the Father asked him to do, the Bible says that the Father exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And listen to me, every person that will be in hell, every person in heaven, one day they will all, and some will be made to, but they will do it. They will all fall on their knees, and they will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, because Jesus did what the Father asked him to do by coming to earth, going and dying that old, horrible death that he died. The Father resurrected him and gave him the name above every name, so that he is preeminent and he is supreme. So I ask you a question. Is he supreme in your life? Is he the priority of your life? The Father made him supreme. If you've not made him supreme in your life, today is the day to do that. Today is the day to say, I want to be a part of the church. Not necessarily Great Swamp Baptist Church, although I think everybody should be. But I want to say this to you. The church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And only can you be a part of that church when you come humbly to him and trust him as your Lord and Savior. What was the name of our cantata this morning? What was it? Jesus, only Jesus. Would you not say that that's a perfect name for a cantata for Easter? Because that's what Easter is all about. It's all about Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, in this room today, I don't know who doesn't know you and who for sure does know you. You know everybody. You know their hearts and their minds. You know their commitments and their surrenders or lack thereof. Only you, dear Heavenly Father, can touch their life today and help them wherever they're seated to come to you and say, oh Lord Jesus, because you were the first to resurrect the way you did, and by your own power. You made it possible for the beginning of the church and the beginning of a new way of life through your salvation. And because you did what you did, and through that resurrection, you got all the supremacy and all the preeminence and all the glory the Father has bestowed upon you, the name which is above every name. And so, Father, I don't know who needs to come today and surrender to you. I don't know who right now who needs to pray from their heart and say to you that I'm lost, Father. And I can't save myself. And I want to come to Jesus Christ humbly acknowledging I'm a sinner and surrender my life to His death, burial, and resurrection and trust Him. I don't know who needs to do that, Father. I pray you'll help them to do it. Even now as I'm praying to you, help them to seek your name. And then, Lord, if they need to come and visit with me about it, I pray you'll move them down this aisle, that they'll come and surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the glorious resurrection. And may your power work in us mightily even as we sing this invitation. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to me, this invitation, and I'm serious about this. Some of you need to, or many of you need to come and kneel and just get down on your knees and give God the praise that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you've had the privilege of becoming a part of the family of God. And you are in His kingdom and you have assurance of a bodily resurrection yourself because of Jesus. And you just need to come and kneel and give Him the praise. But some of you need to come to me and say, I want to talk to you about surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. Or other reasons the Lord may be dealing with you. So as we stand and as we sing, you obey the Lord this morning. Visitor, member, friend, you come. We just
hymn number 307, Just As I Am.
Us to sing Because He Lives, if you would, if you don't mind. We did that this morning outside. I want us to sing that song. Still, you're welcome to come.
407,
if it's not up there on the screen, but you're welcome to come still to me. But let's sing out and rejoice that because He lives, we too live.
Thank you.
people said, I want you to go and have a great Easter with your family. Enjoy this afternoon. We will not have church this evening, but we want you to take this day and celebrate in fellowship with others, giving the Lord Jesus Christ the praise that because He lives, we live. Thank you so much. Fred?
Father, we thank you for this service. We thank you for each and every person that took part in it. I pray a special blessing for each one of them. We thank you for Jesus, who sacrificed for our sins. And we thank you that He rose out of the grave with victory over death. Be with each one of us as we go our separate ways now. Bring us back safely for the next appointed meeting. All this I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.